We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Morning show on Sports Radio 99 The Game on another foggy morning in Atlanta on this Tuesday. What a day full of news, and Rick and John and Dukes and Bell are going to be talking about it. I understand Matt Bryant's going to be on Dukes and Bell later on this afternoon, so we'll have to hear what Matt has to say about not being a Falcon anymore and where he might light next to one of the favorite players of all time. good dude.
I'm with you, John.
A lot of news today, and again, we'll be chopping it up all day long on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Reaction to Kareem Hunt, reaction to the fact that the Browns have signed him, reaction to Kyler Murray saying he's going to be in the NFL draft, reaction to, again, more of Anthony Edwards going to Georgia and what that means for Georgia basketball, and, of course, with LeBron James in town tonight for the Lakers and Hawks. I mean, a lot going on. Did want to mention this only because I thought this was interesting. We're going to get into some Braves talk tomorrow because pitchers and catchers this week, Daytona 500s this week. Whew, man, February is packed. Everybody doesn't understand. February is the busiest sports month of the year, and nobody understands that. And it is, from the Super Bowl through Daytona, through golf and tennis. I mean, everything going on. They have started construction at what they call Block C of the Battery. Okay, so we're getting ready for the next phase of the Battery out there where the Braves Stadium is. And Hugh, we don't even know what the stadium is. It's going to be SunTrust Park this year.
But they were bought by BB&T?
BB&T.
And they got a lot of bread. Both of them together, they're pretty cheesy, to be totally honest. So yeah, this probably is potentially there's going to be a name change involved with that.
Right. It could not be SunTrust Park after this season. It could be. So, you know what I wish the Braves would do? I mean, I know they can't because they need the revenue. But wouldn't it be nice if they just named it like Aaron Park, Hank Aaron Park? Wouldn't that be nice? And said, okay, we're not going to take the revenue. We're not going to call it after.
Those stadium naming rights, that's a lot of check. That's a big check.
I understand it's a big check.
No, I mean, it'd be nice, but that's a big check. You can't miss out on that. You can't miss out on the check. Yeah, check opportunities.
I understand. But wouldn't it be nice, you know, if they did that? But I understand. So this latest phase of the Battery, you tell me what you think. It's going to include a 140-room hotel, okay? A specialty supermarket called Savvy Provisions, and the Silver Spot Cinema, which is going to, among other things, live stream the Metropolitan Opera from Manhattan. So if you're a fan of the Met, you can go to this Silver Spot Cinema and watch the Met live if you're into opera.
What'd you say that place is called? Savvy what?
Savvy Provisions. Specialty market?
I don't know about you, John, but when I hear the name Savvy in anything that goes with a store, I think expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So you said that's a grocery store?
That's what it says. It's a specialty market.
So that means like high-end. That's like you're going to be paying like $100 for kale and things of that nature. No, I'm all cool.
Right. Other things include Lush Nail Spa, Burn. Lush. Yeah, Burn by Rocky Patel. I assume that Burn by Rocky Patel is a restaurant.
That sounds like a spin class.
A cigar lounge. A boxing studio called Pepper Boxing, and an escape game place, and a 9,000 square foot virtual reality park called The Void.
They've already sold all of this. This is already sold.
Yeah, this is already sold, and they're just building it out now. So, I mean, they're going to have more that's going in there. Between where the Battery is, my understanding is it's between where the Battery is and Cobb Parkway. You know, right there on the hill.
That sounds expensive, John.
Yeah, so it's another area of. Well, I think they have 98% occupancy at the Battery right now.
No, I mean, that's a beautiful place, no question about it. But these sound like high end stores. These sound like very very high end stores. Because while you're playing the stores over there by the Battery now, they're not cheap. They're pretty high end already mm-hmm. over that way. So yeah, these sound like real high end stores.
You know, and they got a lot of nice places. I mean, the Battery's a heck of a place. If you're young and you want a condo, I mean, the real estate guy in me knows that. I've been over there. I mean, some nice condos. It's a heck of a place to to, you know, to live and to be able to walk down and just be part of a little city in there. They've done a
great job
with
that. I thought about moving over that way, but yeah, it was a little bit too swanky over there for me. It's a nice place, though.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really nice place.
Yeah, if you're young and single, I mean, it's a great place to be down at Antico's or Sports and Social and go to the ballpark. And, I mean, it's a great place to hang around. I mean, I would admit, I didn't have that luxury when I was young and single. I didn't live – my biggest apartment or my best apartment I ever had was right there on Terrell Mill, right near the ballpark. It was called Post Bridge at the time in the 80s, and it was brand new then. I don't know what it's called now, but that was the place to be then. And, of course, there was no concept of these, you know, kind of living spaces where you had, you know, multi-use. That was not a thing when I was growing up. I mean,
what you mean by multi-use, John?
Where you have the condos on top of the restaurants and everything's kind
of... Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of places in Atlanta that are starting to build that way.
Yeah, right.
Like, they have, like, because where I stayed, they have, like, little restaurants and little like, niche stores
mm-hmm.
that are connected. Mm. To the area.
Yeah, when I was, you just went to a high end apartment complex, and the stores were in the strip mall on the street. You know,
I mean, you know, that was fun for a while. I mean, for me, it was fun for a while. I don't think I took as full advantage of it as I needed to, but now I think I'm ready for like home or town home living. Mm-hmm. But that was fun. It was fun to be in that mix, but it gets a little old after a while. So yeah, I think I'm ready for town home or home living right now.
Again, we are going to be taking your questions in this segment. We want you to tweet us at 929thegame with the hashtag AMTwitterUp, and you can ask us anything. You can ask D about music at the Grammys and where he's going to be spinning. You can ask Arthur about anything, Hugh about anything, me about anything. You can ask a general sports question if you want, and at 920 when we get back, we're going to answer some of your questions on the air. And it doesn't have to be about sports. You want to ask a sports question, that's fine. And Arthur's going to pick the questions, and he's going to ask us what they are. We call it AM Twitter Up, and we'll do it at 9:20 this morning. Also, in a few minutes, we're going to be giving away some tickets. But don't call now, because you have to hear what we have a little sounder to play, okay? So don't be calling now. Just again, to go over some of the headlines today, we mentioned Kareem Hunt in the NFL. The NFL has not finished its investigation, which I don't know why, Hugh, they wouldn't have finished their investigation. How long would that have to take? I mean, that video's been out, I don't know, months now, right?
Yeah, it's been out for a while, and it's real cut and dry. I think they're just trying to make sure they cross all their T's and dot all their I's to make sure that they've done, you know, their due diligence. Or maybe they're waiting for the new league year to start. Maybe that's the case.
But they say they haven't finished their investigation, and they have not ruled. So even though Kareem Hunt is signed with the Cleveland Browns, will he get a 3-game suspension, a 6-game?
I don't think it's going to be no 3.
Yeah, it's going to be at least 6, right?
Because I would probably say 6.
Isn't domestic violence a 6-game?
I don't want to put that out there because I don't know for sure. I would say at least 6 games. I would even probably go – I would say half the season.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably go half the season.
And it'll be interesting to see what they do with Kareem Hunt once he does become eligible and what the reaction's going to be. But then again, we've been down this path before. Everybody thinks that, you know, Hugh, everybody thinks that, oh, there's going to be this big outcry. There used to be outcries. I mean, when Michael Vick went back into football, there was an outcry. We understand that. But Joe Mixon went back into football. Did anybody say anything?
I think there were some protesters. There was definitely some protesters. You know what it is, John? It's because we're here. We don't see it as much, and it's probably not as televised. But, yeah, I would venture to say that there was some protest. There's going to be some protesters in Cleveland. I would not be surprised if right now, as cold as it is in the Midwest, if there aren't some protesters outside of the area of operations for the Cleveland Browns right now protesting Kareem Hunt being there.
I would not be surprised. Yeah, and you know what? You do that on video, and isn't it so interesting? Again, it's all about video, because let's not forget, guys like Tyreek Hill were accused of things that were equal to Kareem Hunt, but nobody talks about Tyreek Hill because there's no video. So we don't know. The video is almost like, in the court of public opinion, is the, you know, the damning evidence. Right,
yeah, the nail in the coffin. Nail in the coffin, John. That is. But it's unfortunate that for some, regardless of what the situation is, you know, you can make a mistake, and you should never put your hand on a woman. I want to say that first. But you can never get – nobody's ever going to let you get past that, regardless. And, you know, somebody compared the situation to Ray Rice. I wholeheartedly believe that if Ray Rice would have been not on the tail end of his career, he probably would have got another chance somewhere else. But I think that because of the timing of everything and you know, the ferocity of in which we saw the film and you know, the whole situation with his wife, his fiance at the time, that it was one of those things that he couldn't come back from.
Well, remember there were two videos. There was the first one released, and it wasn't until the second one. The first one was him dragging her out of the elevator.
Well, yeah, the one.
And then the second was in the elevator when he was beating on her, remember? And he came out with the second video sometime later. And suddenly, and the NFL said, well, yeah, we kind of knew about the existence of the second tape. And, oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a bad look. That was a bad look for the NFL. But you know what's funny? I mean, and when I say funny, I don't mean funny. I mean irony.
Yeah.
Is that when that tape, when the first came out and you saw the way that he was carrying her out of the elevator,
mm-hmm.
most people were looking like, man, that don't look good. Like, most of my friends were like, dog, that don't look good. That's not a good look. And then when the second tape came out, it kind of confirmed what everybody was speculating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it was just, and that Ray Rice video, man, that was brutal. That was brutal. I mean, there's no way around that one. That was just brutal. That was savage.
Yeah, and so you have Joe Mixon and Kareem Hunt and now Ray Rice and all these people, and that video comes out. Jameis Winston, for example, no video that we know of. I mean, there's a picture of him walking out of the grocery store with crab legs. I still think – I almost give him a pass for that one. I still think he probably traded a signed jersey for that or something. I mean, I don't think he just flat-out stole the crab legs. But
that's a – like, flat-out stealing crab legs, that's a lot. That's a lot going on. Stealing them out the grocery store like that, but hey,
yeah, you know. I know, there's a lot going on with that. And so that's one story. And then, of course, Kyler Murray and where he will go in the draft, and people like to speculate. You know, Cliff Kingsbury had said, the new head coach, remember this, when you discuss Kyler Murray and whether or not Arizona would actually, even with Josh Rosen, pass on Nick Bosa and take Kyler Murray number one, keep in mind that prior to becoming the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, Cliff Kingsbury had gone on record and said that were Kyler Murray available to him and were he drafting in the NFL, this is before he was in the NFL, he would take Kyler Murray with the number one pick of the draft. He said that. Now he has an opportunity because guess what? He's in the NFL and he has the number one pick in the draft.
I don't think he will, though. I think Kyler Murray's stature is going to be an issue. I really do. He's probably going to be the absolute smallest quarterback to play in the NFL. Even he probably on Doug Flutie. He probably on Doug Flutie size. Like, seriously. And you know it took Doug Flutie. Doug Flutie had to go to Canada
mm-hmm.
first before he came to the NFL. Played for the Buffalo Bills for a little while.
And the Bears, right?
Yeah. And then didn't he play for the Patriots too? I want to say he was with the Patriots.
Back end of his career, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but Doug Flutie was a guy. You know, he had to take the long way. I don't know if Kyler Murray is going to be that guy though, John. I really don't. I think that he will get drafted. I think that somebody will, you know, take a shot on him, but he's kind of small. I don't want to say he's not going to have success in the NFL. I think he's kind of small to be playing at the quarterback position.
Yeah, because it'll be really interesting to see what there are going to be 1,000 eyes. Kyler Murray is going to step up to a scale or whatever it is.
He's going to step up. He's going to have that thing. What they used to do.
And everybody's going to be looking at him.
You know, no, I remember like what they used to do. You stand in a room, and you have on some shorts, and you have everybody that is at your position that's gonna stand there, and they're probably gonna be towering quarterbacks, and they're gonna say Kyler Murray, Oklahoma, 5'11", or 5'9", and whatever, 3-quarter, whatever they say. But anyway, he's gonna be measured, and they're gonna say 178 pounds. And it's going to see people say, boy, that's a small dude to be trying to play quarterback in the NFL. That's a small dude. And you knowing that he's a guy that's going to try to pull the ball down and run it. But I will say this, and this has held true in the NFL from my perspective and what I've seen from players that have played multiple sports. Basketball players, like guys that have played tight end and played basketball, they're really good pass catchers because they have a way of controlling their body.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks that have played baseball, I haven't seen Russell Wilson get hit like flush the whole his whole career in the NFL. Does a great job of staying healthy. Now, he's an outlier as far as like having a dual threat quarterback. Doesn't really get hurt a whole lot. Hasn't had the kind of career like when you talk about guys that are dual threats like an RG3. You know, you think of RG3 and when he came out and they had that one meme where he was doing the stanky leg where he got hit and hurt himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys that play quarterback, that play baseball, they don't really get hit that hard.
You know, when we get to the point of the combine here in a couple of weeks where they're going to do the height and weight of Kyler Murray, we should run like a Twitter contest to, you know, get closest to the height and weight. On the Wikipedia, it says Kyler Murray, 5'10", 195 pounds. Wikipedia says 5'10", 195 pounds. I'm going to say 5'8 and a half and 179.
Let you in on a little secret, and he wouldn't know this, having played college football, but a lot of my work back when we were college SIDs would be to exaggerate, especially football players, and basketball players too, the heights of those guys, because you would measure them in their shoes and without shoes on, and you would go whatever the highest of the two were.
Which is always with shoes on.
Yeah, and I don't think Kyler Murray is 5'10".
I don't either.
Remember a couple weeks ago at Radio Row, and he was speaking with the Fox Sports Radio group.
He's a slight dude.
Well, I looked at him eye to eye, and you know good and well I'm not 5'10".
How tall are you?
5'7".
Yeah, he may come in under 5'8 and a half.
I think he's 5'5".
No. I rebuke that. Come on now.
He's a little guy.
I'm not Kevin Hart.
And he's no 195, that's for sure.
No, he wasn't 195.
He's a small guy. But maybe Huey redefines the quarterback position.
You know, John, I'm not going to count anybody out. If you desire it to be, it could potentially happen. I'm not about to sit here and say that he can't play in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to be the smallest quarterback to ever play in the NFL, if that is the case.
Next up, we're going to answer some of your questions. We call it AM Twitter Up, and AT has the questions he's going to ask you, ask us what you have asked us, and we're going to do that, have a little bit of fun. First, though, we want to give away a pair of tickets to the second, final, and who knows what, Elton John tour.
Sir Elton John.
Elton John.
Call now, 404-741-0929, and win tickets to see Elton John live from Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, there's your chance. Caller number four at 404-741-0929. You're going to win Elton John tickets right now, but it's not till November. And we're going to answer some of your questions next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Where? On radio.com and the radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Somebody just scored a couple of tickets to see Elton John in his second farewell tour.
His name is Louis Lowow of Duluth, Georgia.
Yeah, Louis, congratulations.
Yeah, Louis, don't buy the farewell tour thing, okay? I'm just saying.
Somebody feeling some kind of way, Louis.
You know, he's what
somebody salty.
I went to his farewell tour when he was retiring last November.
That was part one.
Yeah, he's doing it again. It was so well, I think I'll retire again.
So, I mean, he may say it's a farewell tour and he may disappear into the yellow brick road, but you know what? I'll see him next year, do the same thing. Because I always marvel, Hugh, at, you know, of course, Neil Diamond, you know, because of his health, can't do it anymore. But, you know, I saw Bob Seger this year and I saw Elton John. And these guys that are in their 70s and it's still, you know, even people like, you know, Steven Tyler, who's in his 70s, they're still out there with Aerosmith touring and doing the shows. I think, you know, you're in your 70s as a rocker.
They love what they do.
Yeah, and they must.
And
they don't need the money.
I'm pretty sure that they have groupies and stuff that they enjoy. I don't know what it's like to be an entertainer like that. I don't know what it's like to be a rock star. But I'm pretty sure that rock star lifestyle is pretty hard to give up, because you see a lot of those guys that they still try to hold on to the look that they had in their early days,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the hair dye and the way that they dress and things of that nature. So I don't know what that feels like, but I'm pretty sure that that's pretty addictive, and it's something that you'd never want to live life without, especially if you live with it for so long. Talking about Nick Jagger and all those guys, think about it, John. They've probably lived in hotels and done so many different crazy stuff that they're just used to it now. That's just a part of their regular life. They can't see it being any other way.
We ask you for some questions today. We call it AM Twitter Up and ask you to text in the questions, and Arthur has a few that he wants to ask us today.
All right, guys. A lot of these may be in Hugh's wheelhouse, but they're also available for you to answer in on, John. We start with Brian Bohannon at Brian Bohannon 7. Who's the first main character to get killed in Season 8 of Game of Thrones?
In Season 8?
Yeah.
That's the season's coming up, right?
Yep.
Oh,
now,
man.
I guess he's asking you to spoil it. I don't know.
I never even thought about it. You know, honestly, I haven't even thought about it. I don't want to be that guy that's looking up every day waiting for March to get here for Game of Thrones. But I haven't really thought about that yet. So I have to get back to him on that one. I have to think about that.
I think it's the
– No, I wasn't going to give it up because I couldn't think of anything.
I think it's already happened, right? I mean, the Dilly Dilly Bud Light King.
I've never seen the show, so I...
No, he's talking about the commercial.
Oh.
The dragon killed him.
The mountain, John.
No. The mountain killed the knight. The dragon then blew the fire all over
He sure did.
Okay, you got it. I got you.
I'd be knowing stuff.
No, he know it, but I thought he was talking about the knight when the knight died. Yeah, the
knight would have been first before the king.
Yeah.
At Barrett Gay asked the question, Hugh, have you ever met a date at a restaurant only to run into her girlfriend / bestie who happened to be there by herself? Coincidence or a setup?
Oh, that's a setup.
Yeah.
This ain't no, unless y'all running in the same circles. Like, you know, if you running in the same, like, you know, some people have places that they like to hang out mm-hmm. at all the time. I suggest that if you're dating somebody, don't go to the hangout that she used to go to. Like, or don't go to the hangout that she frequents. Because there's a good chance you probably see somebody there that was you before you became you.
Or yeah, she's you know there if the date goes bad, the homegirl is there to pick her up and take her away.
Yeah that too.
Wing girl, you know.
Wing woman.
Sounds like this has happened to Barrett.
Come on, Barrett.
Well, it's happened to all of us in some degree.
Bob Robley at Sports Techie Net asked the question, is video gaming a sport?
It is now.
Oh, you're not kidding.
I mean, I don't feel that way. Me personally, I don't play it as a sport. I play it for entertainment. But there's a lot of people. There's a lot of money to be made in it. So yes, that is the case.
Well, there's no further proof that the answer to that is absolutely yes. Then the Hawks have a video game team, and a captain, and a recruit, and they work for the Hawks. They play for the Hawks. They are an NBA 2K team. I think the Sixers were the first team to do it, right?
I think you're right with that, John.
And then now the Hawks have a team of NBA 2K players that are Hawks employees, and they're very much as part of the team as Trae Young. They're employed by the team to play NBA 2K.
As a matter of fact, Rick Fox, there was a feature that ran on him, I think, in the last week or two that I was watching a little bit of. I'm not an esports guy, but Rick got into this business, and now he owns a company that's called Echo Fox. And he's made a lot of money doing this. He got involved with this because he was looking to spend more time with his son, who played a lot of video games, and so bought into or created his own company. Good for him. Gerald Fitzgerald, that's an interesting twist, Gerald Fitzgerald. I can't even pronounce his Twitter handle, so we will leave it as it is. He goes, how come you guys never do a show on the south side of Atlanta, ITP?
That's not my call.
Yeah,
I think he's asked that question of me before, and I'm like, dude, I would love to do a show on the south side. That's not my call.
Yeah, not our call. I mean, and we're not dodging, okay?
Oh, no, I'm not a dodger. Too big to be trying to dodge, but no. That's not my call.
It's not our call. We go where the company tells us to go, okay? And, you know, hopefully that'll change it. And, you know, I do know that I think we are going to have some more racetracks this spring.
Cool.
And so, nice I mean, and hopefully we can get down that way. I mean, I know that V does some stuff down there. Mm-hmm. They did some stuff at racetracks down there. And I think, you know, that may have been part of it is that, you know, we were kind of sharing the load with V.
Yeah, I don't.
We didn't want to kind of infringe.
I definitely wouldn't mind doing that.
our buddy Jonathan McGee Sr. at John Sr. Live, I'm sorry, asked this question. It's a football-related question. Wouldn't it be a good idea for the Dolphins and Colts to switch their divisions?
You talking about because of the logistics as far as the geographical location?
From a travel standpoint.
Yeah. No, I think because of the rivalry thing with the Jets and being in that division.
Is there really a rivalry, though?
Well, it was. I mean, we used to get trounced by the Miami Dolphins all the time. I mean, yeah, I think that some rivalries they want to keep intact, and I think that's one of them.
And by the way, I think the Colts and Titans have developed a little thing.
They have
over the years here. So, I understand what he's saying. I mean, I guess if I'm moving teams around, I understand that we could get though. There's talk that there could be some realignment that could happen.
Really?
Yeah, there had been talk. That's one of the things the players have talked about.
I think everybody who dislikes the Patriots would love to see some realignment with that division. That's for sure, because they seem to walk through it every year. Adrian Gibson at Adrian X Gibson asked a question, or makes the statement, I love the original Aladdin just as much as the next person, but why are people hating on Will Smith's version of Genie in the live-action version of Aladdin?
Because I think a lot of people feel the way that John Freaky felt, like Will Smith is just himself, and it, like he's being Will in the Genie movie. I think that's probably what it is. I don't know. I thought it was interesting, and I honestly want to see how he fares in a different role than what we're used to seeing him play. I mean, he's played a long cast of different characters, but I think this one for him is probably going to be his most challenging.
Well, and I don't really have a problem with Will. I saw the trailer. I don't have a problem with Will being Aladdin. It is going to be a different Aladdin. It's going to be we've had the animated version of Aladdin. We've had two or three. I mean, this is just going to be and 20 years from now, people will compare when they redo Aladdin again with whoever the hot guy is. They'll compare him to Will Smith. I guess it's just a generational thing more than anything else.
All right, guys, our final question comes from at @Jarrett_Russell. Who is Georgia's next great pass rusher?
Nolan Smith.
That's the young man that they just got there. The number one draft, the number one pass rusher in college, in high school.
Right. Yeah. Have you seen the kid out of IMG? Have you seen video of this kid? You can Google or YouTube Nolan Smith. Watch this kid do, man, watch this kid work. Whew. He is a force. And he's got the moves, too. I mean, it's not just bull rush. I mean, this kid's got hops. He's quick. He's strong. And I think that, quite frankly, this is why I think that it's going to be interesting to watch him as a true freshman, because I think he'll have a profound impact on the Georgia defense from the start. This kid is, because sometimes a video doesn't tell the full story. I get that. But there's sometimes you can watch video of young players in high school and project out a little bit. You watch Nolan Smith, you could begin to project out, because that kid looks like everything that you go, unblockable.
Well, IMG, they got some ballers down there.
No kidding.
They got some ballers down there at IMG.
Yeah, this Nolan Smith, you're going to really, if you're a Georgia fan, you're really going to like him. He's, he stays healthy and whatnot. I mean, we saw that from, on film with Zeus, too. I mean, with Zamir White. And the only reason we didn't see it is because he got injured, And now we find out, whether or not he's going to be able to come back this year, because last time we checked, we're not sure that he's going to be 100 for this year either.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about kids, man, and projecting them out so far. There's so many different intangibles that can hamper them or hinder them from being successful in college and moving on to the next level that you just can never know. I mean, it's really hard. And it'd be unfortunate. I'm not saying that Zamir is in that same situation, but it would be unfortunate if this knee injury kept him from seeing how far he could potentially go.
I think it's fascinating now. I know we talked a little bit about the state of college basketball this morning, but I think if you're a Georgia, if you're a Georgia fan, you're already there, and it's next guy up, and all these new players coming in and how good they're going to be, these wide receivers, these rush ends and whatnot, in this number one rated recruiting class, which is just off the charts. But I think you should have the same feeling at Georgia Tech, because I'm going to be fascinated to see how good Jordan Yates becomes, because the Milton quarterback has got game. He's, in a lot of ways, Joe Hamilton, I ran into Joe, he thinks Jordan Yates is going to be the best quarterback since he was. And Joe has every right to say that, because Joe was a great quarterback at Georgia Tech. But he thinks Jordan Yates is going to be a star.
Then he's going to get an opportunity. Mm-hmm. With the new coach there, Jeff Collins, he's going to get an opportunity to usher in a new era of Georgia Tech football. And I'm pretty sure everybody's going to be excited to see exactly what that looks like. Now, I think, honestly, that we all have to temper our expectations a little bit because of the change that's going to be with your offensive line, the blocking scheme and things of that nature. It's going to be a little bit of a growing pain.
And your defense, too.
Yeah. I think the defense will be fine. I think the defense, for the most part, John, will be fine. There's going to be some growing pains. Wait a minute. I take that back because they're going back to a 4-3, right? Because they were running a 3-4 last year.
Right, yeah, with Ted Coach Roof, Woody. And then you had Woody run the 3-4, and they're going back to it.
I mean,
there's going to be a lot of changes.
Yeah, there's going to be some changes. I take that back because I forgot about that. I forgot he didn't get a chance
and
to keep his job.
And the third different coordinator in 3 years.
Yeah, he didn't get a chance. Woody didn't keep his job. So yeah.
But, yeah, there'll be some growing pains at Georgia Tech, but it'll be fun. I think fans are going to respond. I mean, look, they're buying season tickets to Georgia Tech like they haven't bought them in years.
Yeah, they're excited, ecstatic about the upcoming season.
This hour of the show brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. Among the things going on this weekend, we mentioned Daytona. We mentioned the NBA All-Star Weekend. There's another little event going on this weekend that's a little closer to us here at the show. I'll tell you what that is and why it's important next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A lot of fun on a Tuesday. A lot of big news. Rick and John out of the bullpen getting ready for their show at the top of the hour. I just said hi to Rick, and he was talking about Jeremy Lin being bought out and going off to Toronto. Of course, first thing out of Rick is about NBA because that's who he is, NBA TV.
Oh, Rick. Yeah, that's what he do.
He's talking about that, and of course, a big NBA night tonight with the Lakers. Our coverage begins at 7 o'clock tonight from State Farm Arena. If you don't have tickets, live on 92.9 The Game, tip at 7:30 with Steve Holman on the call, Hawks against LeBron James and the L.A. Lakers. All right, so, Hugh, we mentioned that this weekend we have Daytona. This weekend we have the NBA All-Star Game. This weekend you have a little event that is going to be personal to you, and I want to know if you're getting here it is Tuesday, starting to get a little bit nervous about being inducted into the Black Hall. Is it
HBC? Yeah, the Black College Hall of Fame. Yeah. Am I getting nervous? Mm-hmm. Not really. Not yet. I guess I'll get nervous when the AD from my school is coming down. They're coming down here Thursday. Mm-hmm. Everybody's coming down Thursday because they're going to present me with a gift. And I guess I'll start getting nervous then. And I know we have some events coming up that we have to attend. But as far as getting nervous, no, not really. Not yet. I think as it gets closer to the date, that I definitely will be. Just a little weird. The biggest thing that I'm concerned about is what am I going to wear? Because, you know, me and these dress clothes and these school clothes, I definitely do not want to put those on. But I had to throw something on in order to look presentable.
Do you have to make a speech?
No, I don't. Not that I know of. And if I do, then Jesus help us all because I ain't got one prepared. It's going to be off the cuff. If they ask me to say a few words, it's going to be right off the top of my head.
Just make sure you write down a list of people you need to thank.
Oh, I'm going to miss. You know, you all. No matter how you do those lists, you always miss somebody. But what I have done is that I've reached out to all of my coaches on every level and just said thank you. You know, and they know that I'm grateful for their contributions. Talked to a few people from home that were really influential in me going to school at Central State. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting.
As a matter of fact, we got a late AM Twitter up question from Mark Cooper at Hang In Wit Coop. Hugh, are you going to rock the Marauders colors at your induction?
You know what? I didn't even think about that. I know I was going to rock my fraternity colors, and they kind of don't go with my school colors. So I was going to do that. So I don't know. I might just go neutral now since you made me think about it. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I need to wear something that says Central State on it, though. I guess I do.
Yeah, you should probably do something.
Yeah, so something. I should
ask him
like
to
that.
Bring you a pen or something. Bruh. You know
what? I don't, dude. You act like I do this every day. I don't even want to get dressed up for this.
Okay, but you going in the Hall of Fame for the college?
But it's just like it's not like I do this every day. So it's like I don't know how I'm supposed to. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Mm. How are you coming with that speech?
I ain't got no speech, AT. If they ask me to say some words, I'll probably just sit up there and, you know, I'll probably give y'all a shout out and keep it moving. I'm not. If they're asking me to say a few words, I'm gonna keep it brief. I'm gonna keep it real brief. Because the more I get to talking, the more I get to going down that rabbit hole, and I'm gonna say something, then it's gonna be awkward. And I'm not gonna be able to get my. I won't have a John Fricky to segue to. It's just gonna be me
or the savior.
Yeah, I'm not gonna have a lifeline, so I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna keep it brief.
Hey, Hugh, Arthur found this list, and this is a great list, and he wonders if you agree with it. The NFL Network, because the HBCU Hall of Fame is going to be announced and inducted in it, the College Football Hall of Fame this week. And then, by the way, the Black College Hall of Fame is moving from out of Atlanta. It's moving to Canton, Ohio. They're going to build a wing of the Pro Football Hall of Fame where Hugh is going to – his plaque will eventually reside. So, you're going to Canton. But the NFL Network did this, the top 10 players in HBCU history. Now, listen to this list of players. This is the NFL Network's top 10 list. And we'll go from 10 to 1 of the greatest HBCU players. Listen to this list. It's unbelievable. Number 10, Michael Strahan.
I agree with that.
Who played at Texas Southern. Number 9, Art Shell, arguably one of the top two or three offensive linemen in the history of the game. Maryland State. Number 8, Jackie Slater, another one at Jackson State. Number 7, Doug Williams, a quarterback at Grambling. Number 6, Willie Brown, at Grambling as well. Number 5, a great Chiefs linebacker, Willie Lanier, who played at Morgan State. Number 4, Mel Blount, one of the great defensive backs who played at Southern University. Number 3, Deacon Jones, who played at Mississippi Valley State, the great Deacon Jones.
Beast.
Number 2, Walter Payton, who played at Jackson State, of course. And number 1 overall, Jerry Rice, who played also at Mississippi Valley State. And when Jerry Rice played at Mississippi Valley State, we used to at CNN, Hugh, would cover Mississippi Valley State games like a regular game because they were so – Mississippi Valley State was scoring 80-plus points a game every game.
You know, the weird thing about Jerry, he wasn't the fastest guy that was that came out, was not the fastest guy. And he just – he worked hard. I remember seeing those videos of him running the mountains and everything and just the way that he worked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was one heck of a player. I would say I think this list is fine as far as the greatest black college players that ever played. But I think some of the orders are wrong. I would myself, personally, and I know Jerry Rice is my frat brother, I would probably put Walter Payton in front of him just because what Walter Payton meant at the time. And then, you know, you think about the history of the 85 Bears and how he didn't get a chance to score that touchdown and mm-hmm. things of that nature mm-hmm. and just what he meant to that team, that right there.
Yeah, Sweetness was a special kind of guy.
Yeah. Doug Williams probably be a little bit higher.
Yeah, I watched this program Saturday. I taped it on Friday and watched it on Saturday. It was really, really good if you get a chance to see it. I would have moved Doug Williams up a couple of spots only because of the significance of winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and what he's
and what that entailed. And I can't really argue with the top three guys, Rice, Payton, and Jones, as well as Mel Blount. I mean, they were terrific ball players.
At their prime, think how good this football team would
have
been.
Oh, my goodness.
Doug Williams with Walter Payton behind him, throwing to Jerry Rice on one side. Your defensive line has Deacon Jones and Michael Strahan. Willie Lanier is one of your linebackers.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Me and Darryl were talking about that, and I was like, he was like, where do you think you rank in there? And I'm like, not in the top 10. I said, maybe top 25, but not in the top 10, because when you look at that list, man, that's a strong list. That's a strong list of some guys that made some major contributions on both levels.
Because I still think you're better than Robert Porcet, though.
Robert Porcet was a beast now.
He was a beast, but Robert Porcet had more years than you, and you accomplished what he accomplished in a shorter amount of time.
No, I hear what you're saying, but
I would actually, Hugh, don't be humble. I think you're better than Robert. You were better than
Robert Porcet, but, well, and the reason why I say that, because I remember when I was getting drafted, Robert Porcet had like 2 or 3 years on me, and he was already at Detroit, because it was a chance I was going to get drafted by the Detroit Lions. And I just remember being, like, watching him at the we were at the facility and thinking, like, man, this cat right here is a beast. And he's playing, and he was so much bigger than me at the time. You know, even coming out of college and you're looking at most of the defensive ends that are playing, you're like, dang, that's a big dude.
I'll tell you one guy who I thought should have been in the top 10, maybe Steve McNair.
Yeah, well, yeah. I got a chance to see McNair at Alcorn play against T.O. and Chattanooga. Those two guys, T.O. obviously wasn't an HBCU, but boy, that game. McNair threw for like 9 touchdowns, and I think Terrell caught 5. I mean, it was so obvious. They were so much better. McNair was a great player at Alcorn State. All right, we take a quick break. Top of the hour, Kareem Hunt, Kyler Murray, Certainly talk about Tom Crean. A lot on the plate today. Very busy news day and a lot to chop up for Rick and John from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.